Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 31. All right. Let's see. Deuteronomy chapter 31 here. Let's pray. Father, we need you. I pray you bless us now and help us, guide us and direct us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 31. This is interesting here. The Lord gave this to me. I texted this to some of you, and talked about it. But in Deuteronomy 31, verse number 11, when all Israel came to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. And that their children, which have not known anything, well, that's very important. We believe in an every word Bible, don't we? That word's very important there. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. You know, the title of this sermon really is the myth of age segregation being necessary for the children to learn. And this myth is exploded here by this text and by the instructions from God. You've been told and you have heard that you can't learn unless you have age segregation. I mean, how can your kids understand unless they have a Sunday school? Well, you know, this really blows that teaching out of the water there. First of all, the whole New Testament does, because you can't find it anywhere in the New Testament. You keep searching for that age segregation teaching there. I mean, direct commands to follow it, not just something. I heard some guy, what's that verse, brother, that they try to pull out? They try to pull out a verse here that's totally has nothing to do. It's out of context. It's completely, and it has no inductive teaching or study to it. In fact, I've gotten doctors of theology very angry with me when we went through this anyway, that's the way it goes. But, look at what this verse says here. Look at what the thrust of this is and what he's explaining. He says, gather the people together. Notice the Lord instructed the leader, all right, to gather all of the people together. Grab all of them. To my knowledge, God has never changed that unto this day. I've never seen where God has offered another plan, a different relative or a plan of relevance to try to reach people. It doesn't say that anywhere in the scriptures. God did not say that we've evolved in our teaching and understanding and that we must segregate our children so they can learn on their own level. Doesn't say that. No, God looked at the leader of these people and he said, gather all of them together. He said, men, women, and children, and the stranger that is in thy gates. He said, grab all of them. Bring all of them together. The men, the women, and the children. Bring them together. Now let me ask you, his purpose for gathering them together is that they may hear and that they may learn. Look what the Bible says. That they may hear and learn and fear. But here we'll take just the hearing and the learning. What is the purpose of gathering the saints of God together? It's to hear and learn to fear God. Amen? They do not assemble to be entertained, to water down the teaching and the preaching for the children, to have games and prizes and sing unbiblical songs. No, there is a soberness, a seriousness that comes in. They assemble to hear the law of the Lord or the Bible and to learn what they have heard and fear God. How much foolery goes on in these groups? I know because I was a part of most of them. I led a lot of them. They're to assemble to hear the law of the Lord or the Bible and to learn what they have heard. It's not the same teaching. Is this not the same teaching that we hear in Ephesians chapter 4 when we see that he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers? Oh, for the parting of the saints? No, it doesn't say for the parting of the saints. For the pleasure of the saints? No, it doesn't say for the pleasure of the saints. For the entertainment of the saints? Does it say that? Is that in there? For the entertainment of the saints? For the relevance to the saints? For the fun of the saints? Does it say any of that there? No, it says for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what it's for. That's what biblical instruction and preaching and teaching is for. For the edification of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. These men were given for that. We assemble for that purpose. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. But notice Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Paul told young Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering of doctrine. The assembly was brought together to hear and to learn the word of God and to learn to fear God. As an assembly, as a body. Now let me ask you a question. If we're all to speak the same thing and have unity, how can we have that if somebody's playing their Mickey Mouse games in the other room somewhere and they're not hearing the same message that you're hearing? How do you have unity in the family when everybody's hearing a different message? Amen? All learning the same thing, all hearing and learning the same message, unity in the body. Just like you see on the internet, they're listening to the same message that you're listening to. And we understand they're not here visibly like they'd like to be. And there are extenuating circumstances for each one, but they're hearing the same one. There's more unity in that than there is in having seven different Sunday school classes where and a junior church where they're playing licorice games and ping pong with each other. Amen? There's more unity. I have more unity of people that I talk to from Texas than I see in churches that are around here together with 600 of them all in one big building somewhere and all separated. Amen. It says by doing this, they will learn to fear the Lord their God. If you assemble them together, if you obey the commands of the Bible, what will happen? Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God. They hear, and they learn. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? They hear and they learn. So what God is saying here is that, you mean these children are capable of learning when they come into the assembly? Now, obviously, we understand they're not going to act like 35-year-olds. They're still going to be kids, unless they act like Lee. Carrie, get the stick out. But when we learn, they hear and they learn. The Holy Ghost is saying, you believe this is inspired, right? You believe this is God's book, right? Infallible, true? He just said that they, if you assemble them together, if you give them the law, and they hear and they will learn. That's His direct instructions. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you really believe children learn to fear the Lord, their God, as they sit in their Mickey Mouse clubs on Sunday morning and some guy has a licorice contest with them? Because I was the guy that had licorice contests with them. Yeah, oh yeah. All that. What do you think goes on in junior church? No, they weren't nibs. What you did was you took a licorice this long and you sucked it up and you ate it before somebody else did. No hands. You can't use hands. What do you think went on in every junior? That stuff goes on in every junior church. Pretty much. Pie eating contest. Throw a pie in the preacher's face contest. Human hot dog contest. The candy contest. You get a big bucket. You get a bunch of buckets, like five buckets across, and it's like the Bozo Show. Anybody seen the Bozo Show? Anybody? Raise your hand if you've seen the Bozo Show. Yeah, you know you did. All right. Remember the grand prize game? Well, that was junior church. What's this have to do with God? Absolutely nothing, but it's fun. What's that? Yeah, once you win, Yeah. Yeah, it's entertainment. That's all it is. Are they learning to fear God with that? When you separate them and you put them in a class like that and you play those games with them, and hey, I've been guilty of them too. I'm speaking from guilt here, okay? I'm not speaking from somebody that's never done this before. So don't go home and think, oh, you're just mad at everybody. No, I'm just telling you, I did it all. If you did it, I probably did it worse. Besides Andrew, I guarantee you he did more than me. But, I mean, he just did. He did. I guarantee you, didn't you, brother? He organized it. He ordered the code red. That guy did right there. It was his fault. He ordered it all. That's right.
Brother Andrew, when he told me, I can tell you that now.
That's right. Brother Russ was the king of the clowns when it comes to that.
I was dressed up as a clown and walked out and looked at the after giving out candy.
Man, that's great. If you had tape of that, I would just be loving this right now. She's got pictures! His wife has pictures of this! This proves my theory right here. I mean, it proves it! Man, I love it when that happens. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, alright. But listen, before you get mad at me, I used to be the guy that did that. We had these contests and games, and then we slipped in a 10-minute message and a 5-minute invitation that herded everybody in the back room. Kids crying like that even. I don't want to go back there. But there was no fear of God there. We didn't teach them to fear the Lord, to have reverence. How can you have reverence when you're playing games and not preaching and teaching them, when there's no soberness? How do you think children mature? You think they mature when you leave them alone to their own adolescence and they play games and they do whatever, they don't take anything seriously? No, they learn when you correct them and instruct them in righteousness and you teach them. Yeah, there's a time for playing and having fun. Nobody's saying that. But it doesn't have anything to do with worshiping God. It's not when the assembly comes together. That's not the time to play games. Amen? That's not the time. What are you teaching your children? You're teaching them to join the emergent church when they're old enough. That's what you're teaching them. Because that's where the real fun is. Amen. There was no fear of God there at all. No reverence. Can I? I don't know what he's going to have me preach. Honestly, I don't. But I may be preaching it online real soon. Look at this world today. Do you really believe our kids need more foolishness in their lives and more entertainment? No, our children need the law of God taught to them as a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ, to teach them to fear the Lord their God and to reverence His holy name. That's what they need. Notice what he says that blows the age segregation right out of the water in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 13. That their children which have not known anything. Now here's what I've been told. Now you can't expect to bring kids into a place that they don't know anything about the Bible and sit them in there and have them sit with adults and hear preaching of God's Word. Why not? God did. God said this, not Moses. God told Moses this. He said that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. This is not Pastor Cooley's idea. This is not Moses' idea. This is not Old Past Baptist Church's idea. This is not Russ's idea. This is the Lord God's plan. Command. I would think if you were going to assemble a people together and obey God's commands to assemble together as a church, that you would want to do it according to what the Bible says an assembly should be. Amen? Look at this, though. It totally explodes their myth that children have to learn on their own level spiritual things. Listen, you have to understand something. Don't make God's spirit like you teaching in a classroom somewhere. Would you stop taking on the world? I understand that teachers have good methods. I understand that. But if you ask anybody, we have teachers here. Carrie would understand that God's spirit works way different than a classroom. Way different than a teaching does like that. Way different. Why? One is academic facts. The other is the Holy Ghost of God pricking the heart of a person. And I'm sorry, you're not God and you can't whittle something down with your own plan and figure out how God's going to work through it. That's not what God called us to do. He said to follow the plan that He gave. That's the that their children which have not known anything may learn and fear. That the children of the saved that have not a clue. They're young, they're ignorant of the truth, and they know nothing. That they may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God. We really need to believe that the Holy Ghost of God will do His work in the assembly and in the lives of children and pray to that end. We must believe that. You think these children can't hear this? They may not understand everything, but they're picking apart some things. And they're taking it with them. In a room somewhere, right. Right. That's exactly right. We need to believe God, though. It says those that know nothing can come and hear the truth of the law of God, and they will learn it, and they will fear God in doing so. You see how we can claim God's promise when we follow God's plan? But when you change the order, look at the youth department today. Look at the average. Has it worked? Has the average youth department worked? What's the fruit of it? That's right. And let me say, folks, I've seen the fruit of it. And what it ends up being is a lot of work for somebody that's doing things right. Because when those people come to your church, you got a lot of work ahead of you. You bet. I've heard people say that you must separate those children to train them. They can't grasp the preaching. They'll never get it. They'll never figure it out. Funny, as Lee's testimony goes, I know a 9-year-old boy that figured it out, that God spoke to his soul and told him he was a lost, wicked, hell-bound sinner. By the way, that wasn't in a junior church somewhere, was it? That wasn't having a licorice contest trying to make church fun for you. Let's make church fun. That wasn't where it was at, was it? No. It was in the preaching of God's Word. And it pricks the heart. And I don't care how old you are, God can reach. And God can start His work that He does, that only He can do. And God will do His work. He will fulfill His work. Now there are verses. You say, well, what am I supposed to do then? How can I further that? They can, according to this verse, go home and explain it to their children. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? So these are the stones of remembrance that they left. That ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Another verse, Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, unless they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Deuteronomy 4:10, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. How about another one? After the preaching comes, after they're assembled together, what's it say? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It is an utter failure, the modern youth department. Why? Because what it said is shuttle your kids into me. I'll do all the work for you. I'll have fun with them. I'll be like a hero to them. And then I'll send them back to you where life is serious. Amen. Dad, you're supposed to be the one having fun with them and playing with them and having a good time with them. You're the one supposed to be taking them out and doing things with them. Families are supposed to do that stuff together. The church hasn't replaced the family. Oh, I just got another sermon idea. Anyway, oh, that's going to be a good one. That's coming next week, I think. Fun. All right, anyway. I heard a man say this, a well-known man that has a really big church, and he has, well, his name is Jack Treiber, and he has a big church and big building. You know, it's been said that he said basically that, you know, the end of the Sunday school will be the downfall of the churches, and, you know, we're going to be in trouble. We're going to go under, you know, with all this. Well, yeah, you're right. Your little kingdom's going to go under. Your little control and conquer scheme's going to go under. Your big million-dollar buildings are going to go under. Hey, can I help you out with something? When you cater to the youth and you bring them in, you're getting people to come in your doors, right? And when they come in your doors, here's what happens. They start to give money when they see that you're doing different youth departments and different this and different that and all these things. And then you can have these big buildings, and you can have a big church and big buildings and cater to everybody's. What happens when the economy crashes? What happens when the dollar is not worth as much as it used to be? And these churches go bankrupt? And so many churches around the country start to go bankrupt? And then the federal government offers a program to bail out these churches and their nonprofit 501c3s? And if they accept the bailout, they can keep their buildings, but they place rules upon them, more so than even now. It's coming. They're going to do that. They're going to offer them that. And these people, in order not to lose stature, to lose their money, to lose everything they have, they're going to capitulate to it. And they're going to listen. They're going to follow. This modern movement is an utter failure. You know, it's quite the claim to say that the church is going to fail, or the churches are going to fail and go under because of not having the segregated Sunday school classes, when you can't even find it in the Bible. Look at the average youth department, the level of spirituality in them. Look at their activities and what they do mostly. It's all about paintball wars, going to the mall, having fun, playing miniature golf, hanging out with a bunch of kids together. Listen, I'll be honest with you, I really don't want my kids hanging out that much with other teenagers for long periods of time. Why? Because I know what I was like when I was a teenager, that's why. And I'm not training them to be a teenager, I'm training them to be a man. Amen? I'm not saying it's wrong for them to have some fun and to spend some time together and monitored, obviously. So you don't trust them? Absolutely not. And I don't want you to trust them either. Amen? I don't want you to shirk your responsibility and place your children with a bunch of other people and trust them. Amen. Look what he promises if we obey his command and his design. In Deuteronomy 31:13, and that their children which have not known anything may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it. He says that these instructions, if they are followed, will give them the teaching and preaching they need to live the life of victory, to go over into that promised land as long as they live, and to live that victorious Christian life. The Christian life is that picture of that promised land that we battle all the time through until we meet the Lord. But it's the promised land, it's the victorious life. You say it's not heaven? No, the promised land's not heaven. If the promised land was heaven, we wouldn't battle anymore. Amen? There's a battle. There's no battle in heaven for us. No more battles there. No more battles with the flesh there. As long as they are alive, this teaching and preaching will help them to get the victory in their life. The Bible's very clear to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But you've got to do it according to God's design, not your own. The assembly is the major part of that. Your children need to be under good preaching and the design that God has blessed and ordained for us to follow. About 125 years ago, we decided God's plan was not working for us, so we changed it and then segregated the assembly, and now we see the fruit of it. The ecumenical movement, the youth group, the rock bands, the emergent church movement. That all started with that. Why? Pragmatism took over. We must have a designer fit. It takes faith to follow God's plan. If God told Moses to do this and then he told us to follow the same pattern of edification in the assembly, then we should follow God. There is not one example of age segregation in the Bible, not one in the New Testament to follow. The design is a body fitly joined and compacted. That's God's design. All, that you all speak the same thing, he said. That there's unity in the body. When you go home, you have a lot. What do you think those Israelites, when they gathered all together, they sat there and they preached the law to them and they preached the truth to them. What did he say? He said, you'll go home and you'll talk about as you walk and as you lie down and as you sit in your home. You'll talk about these things. Why? Because you all heard the same thing, that's why. And then your son and your daughter is going to look over you and ask you, well, Dad, what does that mean? And when your children hear these things, what are they going to ask? The same thing he said the children would ask. What mean you by these things? Right? You're not going to have to force them and prod them and try to get them to repeat something or recite a prayer. They're going to ask you, they'll start to ask you, what mean you by these things? Amen? Think about it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. I pray you bless this next hour, Lord. Thank you so much for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.